MDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump doubling down, repeating much of what he tweeted about President Zelensky during his event in Miami this evening, again calling Zelensky a dictator.
The death that's taking place between Russia and Ukraine has been going on, and we're going to end it. There's no profit for anyone in having World War III, and you're not so far away from it, I'll tell you right now.
Trump again repeating false claims that the United States has spent $200 billion more than Europe defending Ukraine. The Justice Department's second-in-command demanding a judge dismiss corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams, saying that Adams' cooperation with Trump's immigration deportations takes precedence. California could ban the sale of disposable vapes. Lawmakers say the bill's aimed at curbing plastic pollution in the state. The state has also passed laws in recent years banning single-use plastic bottles in hotels, the sale of styrofoam food containers, and single-use plastic carry-out bags at grocery stores. This is ABC News.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Reggie Jackson, the Milwaukee historian and teacher, travels the state sharing Black history while challenging what you think you already know.
Invited to all these communities around the state, these people don't know much about the African American experience, so they asked me to come and share some of that with them. To talk about things related to African American history, race and racism, things of that nature. I've been to over 50 communities around the state of Wisconsin. People like the message that I sent. They think it's credible information. It's been one of the greatest joys of my life, and it's been a great journey. And I've appreciated all of those folks that I work with in all those different communities engaging in conversations about really important things to them.
Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The race is set for the next leader of Wisconsin schools. Incumbent Jill Underley and challenger Brittany Kinzer advanced from yesterday's primary. They will now battle head-to-head for the top job leading the state's Department of Public Instruction. While the race is officially nonpartisan, Democrats have been supporting Underley while Republicans have backed Kinzer. Jeff Wright, the superintendent of the Sauk Prairie School District, was also on the ballot, but he lost. Here in Madison, we have results for the Common Council primaries. In District 9 on the northwest side, current Alder Nikki Conklin and Joanne Pritchett will be on the ballot. In District 10 on the southwest side, Lisa Veldrin will try to unseat Alder Yannette Figueroa Cole. And in District 12, an area that includes the airport, Alder Amani Latimer Burris faces challenger Julie Matthews. All 20 Madison aldermanic districts will be on the ballot April 1st. Meanwhile, a majority of the school referendums on the ballot last night in Wisconsin passed. This is a growing trend here in the last 10 to 15 years in the Badger State, as school funding from the legislature either doesn't increase at all or has meager increases. It's still not keeping up with inflation. That's pushing more districts.
The Badgers beat the Illini. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Number 11th ranked Wisconsin beat Illinois at the Kohl Center, 95-74. There were no handshakes between the teams. Illini head coach Brad Underwood said nearly half of his players were fighting a flu bug. Greg Gard
just said, hey, you guys got to get healthy. You know, and obviously the Johnson's out and whatever else is going on. He goes, we got the flu rolling through us. A bunch of our guys are in the locker room right now, discharging. So I said, if you're okay, we're not going to shake hands. Is that good with you? And he goes, yes, fine. I said, hey, we're cool. We're good. Good luck. Talk to you.
Marquette with a win at home over Seton Hall, 80-56. NBA, the Bucks back in action when they host the Clippers tomorrow night at 7:30. Milwaukee with a new look with players like Gary Trent Jr., Kyle Kuzma, and Kevin Porter Jr.
Nice mix out there, new guys. We were communicating. We were making the right plays. We were playing with energy, and we just had each other's back.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a flurry or two tonight. Cold lows of 0 to 5 below. Wind chills in the teens below. A slow clearing as we look into tomorrow and warming up. Highs into the low 20s and mid-20s on Friday. Currently, it's 10 above.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The John and Gordy Show.
Hey, let's go to the phones. Dick is all right. On the line. You can call us too, 608-879-TALK. Good morning, Dick. What do you got for us this morning?
Well, to the Gaza thing, I mean, his philosophy is this. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's as simple as that.
That's right.
There's no sovereign nation left in this planet.
That's right.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8, on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll be live from downtown Hayward, Wisconsin for the 51st annual American Burka Biter. Yes, outside. Join us. It should be fun.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Schwabba.
All right. Let's get hour number two going here on a Wednesday edition of Nightlight. Great to have you with me wherever you're joining us from in the great state of Wisconsin. Welcome. We're broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Green Bay. And our question of the night is, what or who is your favorite Star Wars character? We've never really delved into the Star Wars characters, ensembles. It's a movie beast. It's a franchise like no other, and I feel like we haven't paid it justice. Even though I'm not the biggest fan, I like it a lot, and I know a lot of you are fans, so that's what we're doing tonight. Who or what is your favorite Star Wars character? We've had some droids. I say Han Solo. Conrad says Anakin Skywalker. All inclinations of Anakin. Bridget just texted in. She's in the 818, says C-3PO, funny and kind and cool looking.
Yeah.
Sounds like Bridget has a little crush on a droid there. So that's our question tonight. Be part of the fun. Let us know what you think. And right now, all right. So from time to time, my son and I talk movies a lot. His name is Joe Schwabba. He is he's a writer himself, and he does comedy sports in Milwaukee. And he's got some great takes, and we have some really good discussions about movies at home. He had an interesting thought about Star Wars that I wanted to talk to him about, and I thought this would make a fun, quick segment. So Joe is on the phone right now. Are you there, buddy?
Yes, hello.
How you doing?
I'm good.
You had to step out of class.
A little cold, but good.
Yeah, is it cold in Milwaukee?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It warmed up since yesterday, though. I think yesterday it was like 1, now it's 7. So it's a nice change of pace.
That's progress. That's good.
Yeah.
I want to also say, Joe, Conrad, I don't know if you do this. Do you send reels to your family, like funny stuff?
To my brother, yeah.
You guys share them? All right, we do that at our house, too. I just got something from Joe. You got to help me explain this, Joe. This is a guy who was asked not to attend magic events anymore because... Is that what it was, Joe? It was magic events?
It was a guy going to, like Magic the Gathering's like a card game.
Okay.
That's kind of associated with like nerdiness. and it's this guy that got kicked out because he kept bending down and taking pictures with all of like the nerds playing Magic's butt cracks. And it was funny. I just thought you'd get a kick out of it, and clearly you did.
It was funny because, like, first of all, I'm fascinated by someone who would do that. But the guy's, yeah. The look on the guy's face is really funny, too. He's not really smiling. He's just kind of very matter-of-factly crouching down next to some guy's part of his butt is hanging out. Very funny stuff. That made me laugh. I'm amazed constantly on the internet that people find a niche or something to brand themselves with. It's very funny.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks for having me on. Have a good rest of your show.
No. Wait, you can't leave yet. Okay. So, all right, you had a great, we're talking about Star Wars tonight, Joe. I don't know who your favorite character is. I know you, oftentimes when we're together, you tell me about a new Star Wars thing and you make fun of me because my eyes kind of gloss over because I can't keep track of all the new spinoffs, whether it's TV, film, one-off movies. There's a ton of stuff in the Star Wars universe. But you had an interesting take or opinion about the fan base. Please share that.
I guess my opinion would be the Star Wars fan base is probably the worst fan base on the planet. They're very toxic and evil, and nothing will ever make them happy. So
that's interesting. You say that, are you kind of labeling a certain age group, or
no? I still think kids like Star Wars, but I think that a lot of the maybe ages like 22 to, I don't know, 40, I think they're pretty critical of the content that now Disney-owned Star Wars makes, and it kind of prevents them from doing anything like unique or cool. So a lot of the Star Wars content you get today that's released on Disney Plus or in the theaters is really, like, really, really kind of vanilla. And it's just let, and, you know, when they do finally do something different or cool, usually the fan base, it's not what they want, and they end up hating it. So I think the property at this point is just kind of like, it's like an amusement park. Like, you go, it's like Mickey Mouse, you know, like, you go, oh, it's just all kind of like symbols. I don't think there's really much substance anymore.
So you're saying like the studio, which is now Disney, is sort of being held hostage by their fan base. They're scared of their fan base. They don't want to piss them off. So the movies are kind of.
And like, I don't want to give Disney any, like, you know, like hold their hand or anything, but I would be critical of what they're doing with Marvel. But with Star Wars, I feel like I don't think they really have a choice because the fan base is just so kind of just like toxic.
That's interesting because I don't know when that started. Like, I know, like you said, kids your age, maybe up to 40, maybe even up to 45. When I saw Star Wars, it was just a movie. I was like, oh, that was cool. Did you like it? Yeah, I loved it. Oh, I liked it. It wasn't like breaking down every character and putting them like in wuss category or cool. It was, but now that's all people do. It seems like it's almost like a all-consuming hobby is to criticize Star Wars.
Yeah, and everybody has their own brand of Star Wars. You know, there's people like you that saw it in the theaters for the first time. Then there's people that grew up with the prequel trilogy. Someone like me watched the animated show when I was a kid. So, and all of those have very different tones and characters and storylines. So everybody has a different opinion of what they think Star Wars is. So then when you release the bigger things like movies or TV shows, if they don't have that thing that they're looking for, I think it's like an assault on their nostalgia.
Wow.
And makes them very sad.
Okay, that said, do you have a favorite Star Wars character?
Yeah, but it's going to be one of those characters where I think your eyes are going to glaze over.
Why? All right, lay it on me.
I like Captain Rex. He's a clone trooper.
Oh, yeah.
He's a clone trooper.
No, I remember watching that show with you and you telling me how much you liked him.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry. No, I was just saying, I remember watching that show with you when you were like 14. You wanted me to watch it. You're like, Dad, check this out. And I remember you talking about that character.
I think I was a little younger than 14. I mean, that's kind of brutal to say. Like, oh, I remember you. I taught you how to shave, and then we watched Star Wars together.
No, that's not what happened. No, all right, maybe you were younger. But
after you got home from prom, you took your date home, and then we sat down, and we watched Star Wars The Clone Wars.
I don't think it was quite that. But all right, maybe you were younger, but I do remember that character, and I like him. Hey, we have a couple more minutes, Joe. You also, the whole reason I wanted to have you on to begin with, because you heard part of my interview with Matt Miller the other night from the Milwaukee Film Critic. You kind of agreed with him, but what was your take on Captain America Brave New World?
Oh, man. I was so bummed out when I saw that movie. I've kind of gotten like hot and cold with Marvel. I'm actually rewatching a lot of the movies for some reason now, maybe because this movie was coming out. And the old Marvel movies really have, you know, there are some good movies in there. And this one is just nothing like those. This movie is, I didn't really like the acting, and the dialogue was really hard. And the funny part is, the biggest reveal in the movie was all over the marketing. So you know the biggest plot twist.
I hate when they do
that. Before you even go into the movie.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how the whole narrative of the movie, it's like the whole mystery of the movie. And you already know it's going to happen. So then when it happens, you're like, okay, that was kind of cool. But you knew it was going to happen. So, yeah, it was just bad. It was just a bad movie.
So you went with friends. What was the take? Like, it's gotten about like 50% at Rotten Tomatoes. You went with two or three friends. What did they feel the same way you did?
For the most part, yeah. One of them, I think, was a little more lenient with it, but two of us were like, yeah, this stinks. And Anthony Mackie, I mean, he's like a good actor, you know? So that kind of leads me to think that it was either maybe the direction that wasn't the best or...
Huh.
But he just didn't really, it didn't seem like he had all that much to do. And the dialogue was really corny, where it was like a kind of a somber moment, and then you have a character going like, oh gee, that sucks, man, like let's go do that, like just like the corny Marvel dialogue, but like it just felt like a parody of itself. I don't know.
I think it's weird that you just use that voice to describe a character in the movie, and that's the voice you use to describe me when you make fun of me at home. So,
well,
I will break that down in my head.
Corny characters.
Right. Joe, thanks for jumping on tonight, buddy. Get back to class.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Glad to be the resident nerd.
You said that, not me. I think you're doing fine. All right, have a good night. Thanks, okay. Joe. All right.
You too. Thanks.
You're welcome. Conrad, that was the first time a member of my family did not wait too long to say goodbye, where I start talking. I'll say, all right, I'll see you later. And then there's a long pause. And then they'll say, all right, bye, Dad. Like, they wait like 30 seconds, and then I always hang up on them. I find it maddening. Joe just texted. He forgot that he had a character. Kit Fisto. That's a good character, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I forgot about Kit Fisto.
We got a really cool text that just came in, actually.
Is that Jameson's?
Yeah, Jameson. And I don't know if you want to read it.
Yeah, let's
do that. We got a minute left, so.
All right, we can do this. I'm a fast reader. I'll speed read. I'll read it in my head. I'll break it down. And Conrad's like, everything I say that's not the text, he's like, will you please get the text? Jameson from the 814 says, I don't know about favorite, but an interesting character set is Owen and Beru. Beru Lars, who suddenly lost their mother-in-law, Anakin's mother. Yeah, that was cool. Anakin's mother then had to raise Luke, knowing who his father is and always remembering he's the son of a mass murderer who has enormous power too, likely, and keeping him straight. That is a great text.
That's a great text.
That's a great story.
Yeah,
that's really cool. And there's so much of that in Star Wars you just forget, but the franchise is packed with that kind of stuff. All right, we are coming back with another movie maker and another guy from Marinette, Wisconsin. Nathan Deming joins us next. This is Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here.
The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up, with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
The Dane County Humane Society offers programs for humans of all ages.
Bow wow.
For kids, there's Camp Paw Print, Scout Workshops, After Dark, and the new Camp Wildside. They also offer field trips, birthday parties, wow, service days, and their new Paws and Pages reading program. Learn more at giveshelter.org/education.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
Welcome back. You got Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Thanks for spending your evening with us here as we broadcast from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Conrad loves the cold. We're getting through it. We are getting through it, and it's great to have you with us. Join in, folks. We have our question of the night is, who or what is your favorite Star Wars character? So we've been having fun with that tonight and seen some. Kit Fisto is kind of the one that came out of left field. That was a good one. And then your Uncle Dick texted again, Conrad. I don't want to forget that. He said, right, C-3PO. No, that's Bridget. Was Dick just telling us he lives in Sheboygan, or did he have a favorite Star Wars character?
Yeah, he says right now texting from Ocala, Florida, but live in Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Oh, because you asked him probably where he was texting from. Because he did answer the question.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
yes,
okay. Did. Thank you, Uncle Dick. I feel like I don't know you well enough to call you uncle, even though you're an avuncular type character, but thank you for all the texts. Keep them coming, folks. Who's your favorite Star Wars character, or what is your favorite Star Wars character? And we will ask my next guest that. Folks, we talk about show business every night on this show, movies, TV, music, comedy, and also a lot of stuff that's going on in Wisconsin. And it's fun when we can marry the two, which we try to do to some degree just about every night. Tonight, it's like an all-local show. We had a comedian from Marinette, Wisconsin. My son Joe chimed in on a Star Wars take he had. He spent time in Marinette, Wisconsin. And now my next guest. I don't know how we did this, but radio history is being made again on Nightlight. Our third guest with a connection to Marinette, Wisconsin, joins me now. His film is screening Saturday at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. The film is February, and joining me now on Nightlight. He's no stranger to Nightlight, folks. It's Nathan Deming, the writer-director. Hey, buddy.
Pete, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Boy, this has been a night for tech spazzes, hasn't it, Conrad? I mean, between the two of us, now Nathan's having trouble with the phone. We were looking at Jeff Cohn's ear for part of his interview. We've had all kinds of problems, Nathan. I can hear you great, buddy. How you doing?
I'm great. Dexter Jetster. Has anybody said that yet?
A Star Wars character?
Yeah.
I do not believe so. Do you know that, Conrad?
What was it again?
Dexter Jetster.
I don't think I've
heard of that. Made up, Nathan.
He's in Attack of the Clones. He's in the diner scene that's a nod to American Graffiti. He's the like guy who analyzes the little darts for Obi-Wan.
Yep.
Oh, that's the guy with the wings?
He has four arms.
Oh,
he's
he's
in the diner. Arms, and he's kind of like, oh, Obi-Wan.
That's great. Oh, that's a totally out of left field one. I love it. How you doing tonight, Nathan? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling you from Minocqua, Wisconsin. Do you know where that is? Oh, my gosh. And there's a deer walking towards my car right now.
Uh-oh. hide your wallet. I do know. Minocqua. I was part of a film tour myself about 8 years ago. I was in a film called Aquarians, and one of our stops was Minocqua, and it was a really great little theater.
Lakeland Cinema.
Yeah, it's a beautiful up there. What is your February showing up there tonight?
Oh, you know it. We're screening nice. Everywhere, Pete. We've
I know.
Been all over this great land of ours, from the Superior, Lake Superior, the Mississippi River, to Door County, and now Minocqua. Yeah, this theater is a part of a chain that's pretty cool, Wisconsin chain owned by the Suick family, which some people might know, also makes a very famous musky lure.
Okay.
So fun fishing connection.
Fun
the theater
fact
as well.
For you, yeah. So they're in the musky game, and they own movie theaters.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Multifaceted. I like that a lot. And that kind of plays into your movie. So for those listening, Nathan, who haven't, you've been on the show before, you've talked about February, give us a little background on this film, which is the whole reason you're traveling the state right now. You're promoting your film February. You're coming to Marinette on Saturday. Tell us how it's going and tell us about the film.
Yeah. So this is a part of my year project where I make a film for every month of the year, all set in Wisconsin. And I want this series to be a little bit like the Spotted Cow of movie series where, you can only get it in Wisconsin and, on top of, and Iron Mountain. I went to Iron Mountain last night.
Okay.
So I'll go 15 miles into another state. But, other than that,
that's admirable.
Keep it in Wisconsin. February specifically is about a Mexican immigrant who's just moved to Wisconsin and is struggling to fit in until he finds ice fishing.
That is so great. Where did you come up with that idea? Because right now, I don't know if this helps your film or hurts it, but immigration's all over the news, obviously. And so are people commenting on that? I know you're doing Q&As. We're doing one on Saturday for people to come out to the Mariner Theater and see the film. What kind of feedback have you gotten given the subject matter?
Yeah, that's what's been super interesting, because also David, who plays the lead, came out from California for the first week and a half of the tour, and
nice.
For the most part, everybody was enormously positive. And you know, some of these places we went were just these like very white communities who I don't think they're necessarily, you know, I don't know the demographics of the voting demographics, but I think maybe it would be safe to say that they're just it'd be a new face to see somebody Latino, basically.
Right.
But there wasn't animosity. They were very open to it, and they treated David like a movie star, and they grabbed photos with him. And we're traveling around with this ice fishing tent we've been putting up to, and everybody's been grabbing photos with it. And so for the most part, it's been very positive. And yes, I get that question at like every other screening, is like about the hot button nature of it. But I guess I'm not really a political filmmaker, and my hope is that people walk away seeing our state through different eyes, and then also trying to see, I mean, yeah, you saw it without spoiling too much. I guess my belief is the immigrant and the Wisconsinite who are in the tent, the ice fishing tent in the movie, they ultimately have a little bit more in common than the people at top, whoever you want to put in there, who are
right
making us point fingers at each other all the time.
Isn't that crazy? And that does not surprise me at all. I think most people would be like that. And I think most people are really going to like the film. So this is the film. It's February. It's showing in Marinette at 1 p.m. at the Mariner Theater. I'm going to introduce the film, and then we're doing a Q&A right after, right?
Yeah, you're going to be there.
I'll be there,
buddy. You can ask me that immigration question then.
I've got so many questions for you. Most of them rated NC-17, so prepare for that. But we're going to tell you a really cool thing that Nathan's film just achieved at another film festival. That's coming up after the news. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got to live together.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Governor Tony Evers unveiled his budget proposal last night in a speech to the legislature. He got frequent cheers from Democrats and silence from the Republican majority. Evers called 2024 Year of the Worker, and he says 2025 is Year of the Kid. He says his proposals benefit working families and would lower the costs of child care and medication and include investments in public education. At the same time, he said his ideas would provide nearly $2 billion in relief to taxpayers, including a proposal to eliminate income taxes on tips and forestall increases in local property taxes.
Wisconsinites need a leg up to be able to finally get ahead on utility bills, on child care costs, on groceries, medication, and doctor visits, and everything in between. And we've got a plan to do just that. Here's how we get it done. Let's save Wisconsinites money.
He's proposing increasing funds for the UW system, expanding Badger Care, thwarting price gouging on prescription drugs, supporting efforts to reduce PFAS and lead contamination, and bolster infrastructure plans. But now that his proposal is finished, next it goes to the Republican majority in the legislature. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss after Evers' address.
Most of the stuff that's in the budget, the 20% spending increase, the $1 billion in taxes, all of the wasteful new programs that are being created and regulations on the private sector, the increases on business, the increases in income taxes, all of those things, dead on arrival.
Wisconsin currently has more than $4 billion in surplus at the state capitol. Now Republicans get their turn with the budget. When they pass one, it'll go back to the governor's office. In the past few years, Evers hasn't just signed the legislation that came to his desk. He's utilized Wisconsin's unique line item veto. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The hips don't lie, and neither does the torso. Shakira had to cancel a show in Lima, Peru last weekend after she found herself in the emergency room. The singer announced to her 91 million Twitter followers she had an abdominal issue and was not well enough to perform. According to The Hollywood Reporter, she rescheduled the show for Monday, February 17th, and is back at it. Glad it was nothing serious. Could have just been Taco Bell. The Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds, Justin Baldoni drama is in the middle of court filings and subpoenas. During a recent appearance on CBS This Morning, Brendan Sklenar, who shared the big screen with Lively and Baldoni on In It Ends With Us, which is where all the controversy took place, was asked by Gayle King who he is siding with, Team Justin or Team Blake. Sklenar diplomatically answered that he is with Team It Ends With Us. Sklenar was on the show to promote the upcoming second season of Taylor Sheridan's 1923. Closer to home, he starred in Green and Gold, which was shot in Door County and is still in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a flurry or two tonight. Cold lows of 0 to 5 below. Wind chills in the teens below. A slow clearing as we look into tomorrow and warming up. Highs into the low 20s and mid 20s on Friday. Currently it's 10 above.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
It might be cold outside, but we're back on the road to find out what makes Wisconsin great, including the American Burr Combiner.
Road trip!
It's the best ski race in the world. I'm Todd Alba. I'm taking you to the Burr Combiner and what it means for the state.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20,000, 30,000.
Join us from Hayward, Wisconsin.
A special Todd Alba show Thursday and Friday.
At noon on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Welcome back. We are in our fourth quadrant of the show tonight. Tomorrow night on the show, ladies and gentlemen, it's our popcorn pick of the week. It's Thursday. Norm Kopesky will be here from Appleton Cigar, one of our show's sponsors. Great to have Norm on board, and it will be fun to have him making the popcorn pick of the week. And then Tim Cody will be here. He's the president of the Fox Valley Veterans Association. Tim will be here tomorrow night as well, and all kinds of tomfoolery. So we hope you can join us then as well. Right now, my third guest associated with Marinette, Wisconsin, joins the show that's never been done before, or at least never been proven that it's been done before. Nathan Deming. He is showing his film February at the Mariner Theater on Saturday at 1 p.m. I will be introducing the film, and I will be hosting a Q&A after the film. And if you've never been to a Q&A with a director, folks, I highly recommend, if you're in the Marinette area or Northeast Wisconsin and you don't mind making a road trip, it's worth it, because oftentimes after any movie, people have questions. And with the director right there, that's a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Maybe not one-in-a-lifetime. It's not like winning the lottery, Nathan, but it will be good to have you there. That's what I'm saying.
Well, and it's not one director, but two, because you'll be there too.
I see what you did there. Thank you, buddy. Give you a little plug. I guess I have directed a film. I've been directed by you, which was a pleasure, in your film Speaking in Tongues, which people can find. Where can people find Speaking in Tongues?
Speaking in Tongues, they can find that on Amazon and Tubi.
Yeah, that was a real kick. I loved being part of that project. And but February, it's such a good film. You played it last year at the Wisconsin Film Festival. You also played it just recently, a few days ago, at the Door County Film Festival. How did that go?
Pretty good. We won the People's Choice Audience Award, which
How about
is
that?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to enjoy Fish Creek, which even in -2 degrees is quite enchanting.
It is. It's beautiful.
That's been the pretty funny thing about doing a roadshow tour in February is all of that. I've been through like 3 snowstorms and then multiple -degree days. Everybody has a runny nose in the theater, but it's kind of nice. Nice to all gather in the warm space for a little bit.
I do remember that. That is the most frustrating part about watching movies in the theater in Wisconsin in the winter, is the coughing. And people, you're absolutely right. And sniffling, and it can get really, it can get you down, because it can take away from the movie experience. But all right. So
yeah, it'd be better. At least we're not in our living rooms. We're not alone, you know? We're
true.
Together for that little bit of community.
Very well said. Well, it's congratulations on the win. An audience award to me is that's pretty cool, because that just shows you're doing something right if people voted for it and liked it the best. So congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a pretty cool one to win.
So tell us, all right, I know you've had some favorite spots on your tour through Wisconsin here. How has that been going? You mentioned snowstorms. You mentioned some cold weather. What else have you encountered in our fair state?
Well, of course, the first snowstorm hit on the day that I drove up to Hayward and Ashland.
Oh, man. Wow.
6 inches of snow or something like that. Okay, in terms of favorite spots, I'll start off with one that surprised me the most, which was Alma, Wisconsin. Do you know where that is?
I've heard of it. I don't know much about Alma, no.
Oh, my gosh. Super charming town on the Mississippi River. Population less than 1,000. But somehow just like the most laid-back, cool, charming atmosphere. There's a train that just runs right through the middle of town. That place really jumped out at me as a pretty cool one. I will not name the worst, but they know who they are.
Can you give us a hint, like, what region are we talking about here as the worst?
Oh, I'm kidding. Actually, there hasn't been a worse.
Of course not. I'm sure they welcome you with open arms.
You know, the other ones that surprised me that I wasn't expecting much was Elroy, Wisconsin, which is a pretty small town at the start of the Elroy-Sparta bike trail, which a lot of people know.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a movie theater there, which is like, this is the other fun part of this tour for me personally, is just finding all these amazing old movie theaters, a lot of them that were built in the 1930s that are still owned and operated. So there's a movie theater. So nearby, I grew up in Toma, much bigger town. We don't have a movie theater. Elroy, a third of the population, has this movie theater.
Wow.
And it was pretty cool. People came from all these other little towns nearby. And again, like an area where you would be like, oh, are they going to maybe have some problems with the immigration themes or with David or something like that? Everybody was super warm, wanted a photo with David. It was cool.
You know, it's so fun. Like in Marinette, we have, I would say, when I went to high school there, it was pretty lily white. There are a lot more people of color there now. And there's like four Mexican restaurants and, you know, there's great soccer clubs. And I think people like immigrants, I would assume some of them are at least have assimilated really well. I can't imagine like when you actually interact with people and see how human they are and what you have in common, you know, that's what it's all about. And that's what you have in your movie. That's what I think is so cool about this kid who learns how to ice fish.
Well, and it's also like the history of our state and the country in general. I mean, you don't have to go very far back in my family to find immigrants. And like, I think it's like two generations ago, like they spoke German and Norwegian. Like they spoke a different language already, you know? Mm. And they came here. They were looking for a better life, you know? Like that's not that long ago, you know?
Right.
And like we go even before that. I mean, in general, we're not supposed to be here. You know, we stole this land. So like, I mean, I think the best thing we can do with the time we have together is, yeah, treat each other equally. And one of the best comments I had on the tour was at our Eau Claire kickoff where somebody came who only spoke Spanish. So the Q&A moderator had to translate for me. But she said something really beautiful about the movie I hadn't thought about. Well, I knew it in the far back of my mind, but it was great to see that was her reaction to it as a Latino, was that the movie, and hopefully, and this is just also true, I think, in real life, Latinos aren't just coming to Wisconsin and assimilating. They are also changing Wisconsin, and we are learning from them, which, I thought was really cool. Like, she said that she liked that the film captured that, and I was like, oh, yes, thank you. I didn't totally realize that. I mean, that's, I think, more of just about them, because I was just trying to show what they're doing. But, right. Yeah, like you mentioned, they're moving into downtowns that have become kind of dilapidated in Wisconsin. They're renovating them. They're building Mexican restaurants and Latin American grocery stores and bringing kind of a life and vitality to it.
That's so funny you say that, because we have that in Marinette too. We have a Latin grocery store. And if you would have told me that would have been there 20 years ago, I would have said no way, but I think it's thriving. So that's exciting too. What was the biggest challenge making this film? You shot this film in winter in northern Wisconsin. What was your biggest challenge doing that?
Well, the shooting on a lake, like I talked to Charlie Behrens about this, not to mention another radio host. You're much more fun to talk to, Pete.
He's on this network. You can do that. I've had Charlie on the show.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't like me personally, but he was a good guest.
Yeah, well, I was like trying to explain to him. I start to answer the question of, yeah, it's really hard to shoot on a lake. And of course, I'm talking to Charlie Behrens, who makes a video every 2 months out on a frozen lake. So he's pretty used to it. But yeah, for my crew from California, they were not used to it. And that was one of the bigger things. And then there was a couple days we were filming on the lake that like the temperature spiked up to 50. So that's not a great feeling on a lake.
Right. Nobody moves.
I mean, it's nice. It's physically nice. And I mean, in general, what we were told is true, which is that, I mean, the lake's not going to, like 2 feet of ice isn't going to disappear in, you know,
right,
24 hours. But still, when you got 15 people that you're responsible for and 3 vehicles, I mean, you can never put a vehicle on ice and know it's safe, because no ice is, you know, ever perfectly safe. So I was pretty relieved when the ice sections were finished with the movie.
Do you really know, like, that people, like, I wouldn't have even known that you don't park a car. Like, in Marinette, there are people that do ice car racing out in the bay.
I was going to say, I saw that for the first time. I went up to Ashland during the snowstorm day. I look out at Lake Superior and there's like drag racing going on. And I was am I in LA right now? What is this?
It's crazy because the bay where we live is like 2 feet deep. So if you go through, I mean, I suppose you could injure yourself or possibly drown, but Lake Superior is a whole different animal, man. That would scare the living day. That's like the ocean basically, or outer space.
Yeah, yeah.
No thanks. You know? So, all right. So, My guest is Nathan Demming. He's showing his film February. It's one of 12. He's going to make a movie for every month of the year. He is, he's got the first two down. I assume you're working on March, but Saturday, the movie will be screened at the Mariner Theater in Marinette, just an hour north of where we're broadcasting from right now. If you're in the Northeast Wisconsin area, it might be worth a road trip, folks. Nathan will be there. I will introduce the film. I'm going to host a Q&A. And the film's about 45 minutes long, Nathan?
Closer to an hour.
Okay. So yeah. Closer to an hour, and then we'll do a Q&A. It's going to be a really fun event, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If you can swing by, it'd be great. Trust me, you'll love Nathan. He's a great guest. I've had him on a PBS show I host before, and he's going to make a great interview after you see a good film. So it's definitely worth it. What is the entrance fee, Nathan?
Yeah, that's the worst part. It's $0. So
who's got that kind of money?
It's the best part. It's the best part.
Yeah, $0.
So you'll only lose an hour and a half of your life spending it with us.
Okay, and you can buy snacks. They've got snacks. Who doesn't like snacks?
They got snacks, concessions. Yeah, okay. It's the Mariner Theater. I think they have an arcade there, too. So, yeah.
They do.
If you don't like the movie, just go play video games.
Oh, don't do that. Then you're hearing Pac-Man in the back. My wife worked at that theater in high school. I didn't know her in high school, but she worked there. And I remember they had these girls. I don't think you'd get away with this now, but they wore like these cute like little outfits that I don't think would go over very well. But I always remember thinking it was, and that was the only theater in town at the time. And they had two screens and it was just a blast. So I have a lot of fondness for the Mariner. It's a great little joint and it's going to be a fun event. So come on out and join us. Nathan, speaking of directors, I don't think I've ever asked you this, and I've known you for several years now. Who are your favorite directors and which directors have influenced you the most?
Oh, okay. Well, influenced and favorite, overlapping list. I mean, the first person I always say is Mike Leigh, the British director, which is the reason I went to the film school I went to. And I think, especially with his Year series, the style I'm like kind of carving out for myself, similar to. So I love Mike Leigh. But for American filmmakers, I got to say, Paul Thomas Anderson, that's my favorite guy. Every time he puts out a film is kind of a new chapter of my life. I just love
Interesting.
Every one of his films. Did you see Phantom Thread or Licorice Pizza?
No, oh God, Licorice Pizza, I keep forgetting to watch. I have to write that down. No, I've seen Boogie Nights, Magnolia. I've seen like 4 or 5 of his films. I haven't seen all of them though.
What's great about him, I think, is that everybody has a different favorite film, which I think speaks to like how strong of a filmmaker he is, you know, like Boogie Nights is completely different from Magnolia. I love Phantom Thread. I love There Will Be Blood.
I saw that. Great movie.
Yeah. So like, he's amazing. And, everything he does with the camera is like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. You know, I think my favorite Paul Thomas Anderson film might be, surprise you is Heart Eight with John C. Riley. He did
Heart
Eight,
right? Interesting.
Yeah, that was had an indie feel to it, but a really good movie about gambling. And who's the guy who I all of a sudden don't like anymore? William Macy is in it, and he's a really good actor. And then Maria Bello, I want to say, is in it, but it's a really just a solid, I really like the film.
Yeah, it's like his breakout hit. That one's pretty strong. Shout out to so my hometown is Toma, Wisconsin, and Toma native Rachel Schrader, a girl who went to my high school, she just worked on his latest film, which is coming out.
Oh, no kidding.
And maybe this year, maybe next. She moved out to L.A. to do sound, worked her way up, and now she works on all the Giant stuff and got to work on
that. Oh, that is so great. We'll have a couple more minutes coming up with Nathan after a very short break. And I got my movies confused. I did mean Heart Eight, but I'm thinking of The Cooler that William Macy was in. But Heart Eight is my favorite Paul Thomas Anderson film.
Yeah, I was kind of like trying to track that. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with a few more minutes with our buddy Nathan Demming. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. We're definitely going to be late to the concert. I feel like we should be there by now.
I'm just taking a little detour. I got to fill up my gas tank, and I know this place a couple towns over where the gas is cheaper.
Are you serious? We're going to be late for the concert because you're driving out of the way for cheaper gas? Just use Upside.
What's Upside?
Upside is the free cash back app that gets you real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait, I can get cash back just for buying the gas I need anyway?
Yes, I use it all the time, and I've made around $200. Now pull over so you can download the Upside app before we miss the concert.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code TRAFFIC25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank, PayPal, or as a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code TRAFFIC25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code TRAFFIC25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus. That's code TRAFFIC25.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
There's a problem ever sign, bargain buildings, weights and pulleys, feathers hit.
Andrew from Maine says that high of a cover charge in this economy, outrageous. I guess the only other way we could make this kind of cushion the blow, Nathan, is just to give people a couple bucks when they come in to watch your film.
Oh, I'm paying them now.
Yeah, I guess that's Andrew from Maine's suggestion.
Okay.
So we were talking about Paul Thomas Anderson. Is he the guy that's influenced you the most, or the guy whose films you like to watch the most?
Oh, you know, well, there's several guys I could go off on and then go, oh my God, I just want to make films like them. You know?
Right. No, I get it.
Yeah. Terrence Malick too. I mean, one of the movies that had the biggest effect on my life was Tree of Life. If you've seen that,
I saw it years ago.
Sundance.
Go ahead. Sorry.
You saw it years ago?
Tree of Life. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it at the old Sundance Cinema in Madison, which sadly, RIP, is gone now. But that just, I don't know, right age, right time, and it just kind of like blew my little brain. But I like a lot of people. I mean, I still love Spielberg, if you heard of him.
I've heard of his work, yeah.
Yeah, he did a little film called E.T., he did some movies called Indiana Jones, kind of obscure. You wouldn't know it. But,
it's funny that you're saying these films, and I love that you're like this jaded film guy, but you're picking some of his bigger hits, which I think is really cool because, like, you know, sometimes you talk to people who are really in the know and they'll say, like, well, Sugarland Express or, you know, something more obscure.
Oh.
But I love that you're picking these hits. Yeah, because those are great films.
Oh, man. No, yeah, you can't top. I mean, come on. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who, like, I think also film people like to crap on him or, like, pretend like they don't love his movies. It's like, come on. Like, any five of his best are up there for five of the greatest of all time. Saving Private Ryan, you know, like, I'm trying to come up with them at the top of my head. E.T., Jaws, I mean, come on.
Or the Holocaust on Schindler's List.
Yeah, Schindler's List, Jurassic Park. I mean, we're just living in the effect of his career on the industry. The Jurassic Park 9 is coming out this year, something like that, which I would argue is not because these movies are good, but because that first one is so good that, you know, they just are ripping it off forever.
Cha-ching. So one other movie I wanted to ask you about. This is on your favorites list. And I just saw the whole thing recently. It was shot in the UP with Jimmy Stewart, Anatomy of a Murder.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about your thoughts on that film.
Well, this has quickly become, I think, one of my favorite films of all time. What did you think of it? Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't love it. I read the book first, but I love Jimmy Stewart. I love the look of it. I think, I hate to say this because it makes me sound like a simpleton, but I think it was long, and I think it kind of meandered a little bit. I'm probably going to get pushback on that, but I did like it overall, yes.
Oh, man, yeah, I don't know what clicked in me about that film, but, well, I love 50s movies in general, and that one has such a crazy, unique tone. You know, it's about, I'm sure a lot of people have seen it, but if you haven't, it's like Jimmy Stewart's this lawyer who just goes fishing all the time in the UP. He's like waiting for a good case, and then like the worst case comes along, which is like a very clear-cut murder with very clear motivation. And then yet everything's off about it. He takes it, he defends the murderer, he even kind of like leads the murderer on without saying enough. He basically helps him understand that he needs to pretend to be insane or he needs to plead insanity. And then most of the movies in the courtroom, and apparently it's been used in law schools, I've read.
Oh, interesting.
To show, it's apparently the most realistic depiction of what court is like. And I think it's based on a real court. Well, yeah, you read the book. Yeah. So it's based on a real trial that happened. I don't know. Everything about it's so fascinating. It's got that great jazzy score and then the femme fatale of the wife character.
Right.
So good.
No, it's great. And there's some great shots of him driving by. Well, I assume it's Lake Superior, but love the cinematography. And I love the small. My dad's a lawyer in Marinette, which is probably, I think this was shot in Marquette, Anatomy of a Murder,
yeah, or Marquette,
up that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and it had that. I mean, I love that they shot it on location. It's such a small town feel to it. And they totally captured that. So I'll have to give it another watch. But if you like 1950s movies, the next time you come on, I have been immersing myself in film noirs for the last 6 months. And I absolutely love it. So next time you come on, we'll have to have a discussion about that. But
let's definitely chat about that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I will see you Saturday. Nathan Demming. The film is February. It's playing at the Mariner Theater Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. I'll be there to introduce it. Nathan will be there. We'll do a Q&A afterwards. It's going to be a great time. Come on out. It's free at those prices. You can't afford not to go. And Nathan, break a leg on Saturday. I will see you there. And thanks so much for your time tonight, buddy.
See you soon, Pete.
Okay. All right. Have a good night. That's Nathan Demming. I'm excited. I think that's going to be fun. I love doing a Q&A. It's fun to talk to. I love the questions people ask filmmakers. Because oftentimes, the people aren't film buffs, but they have these great questions that, you know, anybody can come up with a great question. And oftentimes it's something even the filmmaker didn't think of. So it's going to be a fun event. Hope to see you out there Saturday. We will be back to do all of this tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to thank Jeff Cohn, Joe Schwabe, Nathan Demming, and thank you, the listener, for all your texts and calls. Great fun tonight on Nightlight. And we will do it again tomorrow on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. I'm Pete Schwabe saying good night, Wisconsin.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Joining the revolution this week, we've got WISDEM's chairman, Ben Wickler. Be sure to tune in.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like.
Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. President Trump's current vice president is echoing his controversial comments on Ukraine. But Trump's former VP is also speaking out. Mike Pence posting online, quote, Mr. President, Ukraine did not start this war. ABC's Jay O'Brien on the Hill.
One of the more notable non-answers we've gotten up here on Capitol Hill comes from the top Republican in the Senate, John Thune, asked at a press conference about Trump calling Zelensky a quote-unquote dictator. Thune saying, quote, the president speaks for himself.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is considering firing or removing generals and senior officers as early as this week, that from multiple U.S. and congressional officials. The Pentagon confirming that some probationary employees described as non-mission critical will be let go, and more government cuts proposed by the Trump administration, including the CDC and IRS. Harsh winter weather forcing the cancellation of more than 800 U.S. air flights today. This is